don't do it. And laughing is a no-no when she says, how do I look? Don't do it.
That's ridiculous.
If she says she spells love, T-I-M-E, don't grammatically correct her. If she says you both should give 100%, don't tell her that's impossible. Mathematically,
don't do it. Stop, must stop it. Cut it out. Never leave an argument by yelling out, well, fine! Don't do it. Unless she was asking how your day was, and you said, well, fine.
Well, that's okay. If she makes dinner, she needs to do the dishes.
He's kidding.
I was.
That's your job.
Never tell her jokes like, what do you do when the dishwasher stops working? You tell her to get back to work.
That's not funny.
Maybe just a little.
But don't even think of laughing. Oh, and don't. Do re mi fa sol la ti. Don't do it now. Stop, must stop it and cut it out. And always ask about her day. Help her fold the laundry. And don't forget to spray
Lysol in the bathroom.
Because if you do these, you will see
you'll make yourself happy
and your marriage will be sturdy.
It's real cute, guys.
Like an oak.
But there are so many things
you must
don't do it. Stop, must stop it. Cut it out. Listen to me. Don't.
Have we made our point?
Don't. Stop right in your tracks. Don't do it now. Don't blame it and stop. This relationship, no suicide. Don't do it and don't do it and stop. Stop. Don't do it now. Don't do it and stop. And stop. And stop. 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 Stop.
Don't do it. No.
Don't.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're welcome. We hope
thank you guys.
Really helped you tonight.
Thank you all. That was so great. You can let go.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Hey, our guests tonight that are going to share, you guys have seen them around Watermark a long time. It's Scott and Kristen Kadersha. Scott is on the marriage team and serves as director over Merge Foundation Group and Reengage. And so give it a warm welcome for Scott and Kristen.
Thank you.
Awesome. Hey, there's a handout on your seat. You can fill in the blanks. That was great. Good for the soul. You guys look a lot like Rob and Bron.
We know
them? Yeah, I don't know if you know them. I know I'm not supposed to say that, so I won't. All right. Hey, fill in the blanks on the handout. If you got one in front of you, you should. We are Scott and Kristen, married since 2001. Little family picture somewhere in there. We got married in September 2001. Four boys along the way that are twins that are 13, an 11-year-old, and a 9-year-old. And there they are.
They don't look like that anymore.
No, they're large human beings.
That was about 2 years ago.
Yes. Hey, the whole month of February, we're talking about just love. That's been the concept that we've taught through. John taught through it a couple weeks ago. It's lesson one in your Reengage curriculum. And so we're going to talk about a different aspect of love tonight. Of just pursuing one another. Maybe I can get another mic up here if there's another handheld, so we don't buzz if that's a problem. But we're going to talk. Thank you. Awesome.
Yellow.
Yellow. There we go. Thank you. That's better. All right. Hey, so we're going to talk about just how to continually pursue one another. So you guys remember when you first met one another, you started dating, and you did things really well. You pursued one another creatively. You spent a lot of time preparing for your date. Susan actually confessed this to me on her first date with Raul. She spent 4 to 6 hours getting ready for the first date. And you guys might remember, it might not have been 4 to 6 hours, but you spent a lot of time looking good on your hair, your makeup, what you're going to wear. And that wasn't just the guys, that was the women as well, getting ready for the big date night. And you're intentional, you think about it, you're creative. And then you get married and you just kind of get boring. And we get stuck in routines. And this guy, Justin Buzzard, wrote this book called Date Your Wife. And in the book, he says it looks something like this, that you find a girl you like. You get her to like you back. You impress the girl until she becomes your girlfriend and wants to marry you. You then relax. You share a home, bills, conflict, kids, and stress with a girl who was your girlfriend, and you never go anywhere. And we have seen this story just play out over and over and over. And it might be your story. It was certainly part of our story. When we met in Atlanta. Kristen was actually my teacher. Yes, and she was hot for her student, and love at first sight for her. Total opposite. Love at first sight for me, and it took her a long time to get with the program. And we finally started dating, got married, and had just creative. We pursued one another. We did new adventures, tried different things, had kids, and just got stuck in routine. And life gets kind of boring, and so kids are not the fault, but we typically end up in this place where we don't pursue each other incredibly well. And he goes on to say that the most rebellious, countercultural thing you could do in our culture is to be happily married until death do you part. And so we know in this room, you're all over the spectrum. You are anywhere from a 0 out of 10 to a 9 out of 10, everywhere in between. And we want to remind you that the marriage is to be enjoyed. And so if you've got your handout, you could fill that in, figure out what's fun for you. But we're to enjoy marriage. There's this great passage in Ecclesiastes 9:9. It says, enjoy life with the wife whom you love. Then it gets depressing. All the days of your pitiful, vain existence that he's giving you under the sun, you might as well enjoy the time that you have with one another. And so the bottom line there is that you don't have to choose whether you enjoy life or you have a spouse. You can actually do both, that marriage can be fun being married together. Proverbs 5:18-19 says, let your fountain be blessed. Rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. That's in your Bibles. Read your Bibles. There's good stuff in there. And so we want to remind you just to enjoy being married to one another, and you've got to be intentional in order to do that.
So your next blank there is, in order to keep your relationship a priority, you must be intentional. And we're going to define that as acting in a way that is selfless and marked with purpose. So your actions are both planned and chosen with intent. So we all have good intentions. You're all here. A lot of us had pre-married counseling or did something like that before we got married and all had good intentions when we walked down the aisle. So it's more than just our intentions. It's what we do with it. And so we're going to hopefully give you some ideas to set some good patterns in place and give you some direction. So one of those things is, what does it mean to be intentional? Just the practicality of it. And so there's three aspects that we're going to touch on. The first is just honor one another. So Hebrews 13:4 says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. We are to esteem marriage and one another as highly valuable. And so marriage is partly designed to make us holy, but our main job is not to kind of beat each other down and point out each other's faults in order to make each other like Jesus. Rather, it is to raise the value of marriage and of our spouse, to make them look good, and so that others around us would see that marriage is good and one thing that God thinks should be just amazing. So number two is prioritize the relationship. And that is Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So that means we put this relationship over work, over kids, over hobbies, over our extended family. And the reality is all those things can be good, and all those things can pull us away from this relationship. So it's your relationship with the Lord first, and then your relationship with your spouse. And those other things are good, but have to be kept in perspective. And the third is just purposely pursue each other. And so that looks like Philippians 2, 3, and 4, doing nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, counting others, meaning your spouse in this case, more significant than yourselves. Look each of you not only to his own interest, but to the interest of others. And so knowing and looking towards that person and doing things purposefully to encourage that relationship.
So in order to be intentional, you must get rid of the foxes. And I know Todd talked about this last week if you were here. Song of Solomon 2:15, catch the foxes for us. The little foxes that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. The idea there, this does not mean your homework is to go home and catch foxes. Foxes are just, it's a metaphor, it's an analogy that helps us understand what's going on here. Now, foxes on the outside are these cute little furry creatures that look harmless, but what they actually do is they dig holes underneath plants, underneath fruit, and what it does is it just destroys the integrity of the plant. It's not able to grow in the way it's supposed to. It's not able to produce fruit like it's supposed to. And so the idea here, what Solomon says, is that we are to catch the foxes, the things that could destroy us that we don't even know about. They look harmless on the outside, but will actually wreck our marriages. And so a couple things very quickly. These are already on your sheet, but social media, technology. Okay, great. There's great things about it, but if we're not careful, it will destroy our relationship. And so a couple pictures. You know, one is this the father and his son. It just gets in the way of relationship with the son. And then, you know, we get in our beds at night, and instead of enjoying the fruits of intimacy, we pull out our phones or we watch TV. And so it just gets in the way of what should be a great thing. Schedule and busyness. We're all so busy. We fill all the time. We have boredom. And so this guy wrote a book about couples who have walked through infidelity. And says one of the most common characteristics of couples who walk through infidelity is that they're bored. And so they look for fun outside of their marriage with somebody else who's not their spouse. Last one is just others. And so kids, work, hobbies. Okay, might be hunting. We know some people that like hunting just takes them away from their family for weekends and weekends and weekends. You should be able to have fun, but not at the detriment of your marriage and your relationship with your family. We're going to spend the bulk of our time talking about the fifth fox that's called
complacency or your lack of pursuit. Excuse me. And that's just basically, why do we date? And so we date to be countercultural, like the quote that Scott used earlier. But that's Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so we're going to date as a way of pursuing one another and being countercultural, not getting into this just coexisting in our marriage. So how do we date? What does that look like? Once you're married, and especially once you have kids, it's not probably going to happen spontaneously. Really, when you dated before you were married, it really wasn't always spontaneous. And so just, again, going back to the things that you did before you were married, plan it out. If you need a sitter, get a sitter. Block your busy schedules. Make this one of those things that is a priority. One thing you need to do is have a conversation. What does it mean to be on a date? Before we had children, twins, we started out with twins. So before we had our twins, I probably would have considered Chick-fil-A a date. Like, that would have been okay on occasion. If you took me to Chick-fil-A anytime before our oldest were probably 10 or 12, I would have laughed. Like, that is not a date. That does not count.
Don't do it.
So just like compare notes and decide what does rank as a date. Somewhere along the way, research has shown that men report going on of a married couple, the guy will report going on more dates than the woman. So clearly there's not communication there. Like if he thinks, you know, getting your oil changed is a date and she doesn't, then that's not gonna cut it. So, and for some of you, if you do have kids, like you can do a home date if you're in agreement that that's a date, and make it something fun and special.
Yeah, so we both love college football, and so when our twins were really young, and even when they were, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, and we had other kids behind them, we loved sitting down on the couch together watching college football. And so we'd get takeout. We'd typically go to Central Market. It would be the best meal we'd have for the week. And we would, like, literally, we would change the clocks back for our kids. We would lie to our children and say, hey, it's 7 p.m., time for you to go to bed. It's like 3 o'clock in reality.
still sunny out. Yeah, they just woke up a few hours ago. And so for us, that was a date, right? You know, put the kids away, and we just got to hang out with
Put them away.
That's why she's here with me. Yes, and so put them to bed and love them and never lie to your children, okay? And so, like, a couple other things. So we've just had to be creative over the years. At one point, we had, you know, four kids under the age of four and under. And so, like, the things that we did when we were dating, we couldn't do anymore. And so we just had to find things that were creative. And so here's, like, a really easy one. And actually, your parting gift tonight can be to grab a bottle of water on the way out, let it dry fully. And then what we did is we just cut a bunch of strips of paper and put them in there. And then literally on a Saturday night, we'd put the kids to bed. And then we'd get this thing out. And we would just pull a strip of paper out. And so they would be things like, go to Target, buy a new board game, and play a board game together. We love the show Friends, and so it'd be watch Kristen's three favorite episode of Friends. Go buy a puzzle, bake cookies, stuff like, read a book together. Like, those are the kinds of things that are in here. One of them was, like, make out for 5 minutes and do nothing else, and I threw that one in the fire and destroyed it. Another one that we did over the years is, as our kids got a little bit older, it was easier to go on a date, is I just took five cards and five envelopes, created five date nights that were in different parts of Dallas, and it was not like, I'm not a creative guy, okay? And so it was things like that was just different than what we normally do. And so we're going to go here for appetizer, we're going to go there for dinner, and then we're going to go to Topgolf. And they were in different parts of town, and they're number 1 through 5. And so Kristen, pick an envelope, number 1 through 5. And so it was kind of a unique, different date night. It was different than the routine of what we typically did with one another. We're going to give you, in your closed group room or an open group or newcomer, you're actually going to get a date night guide that we did as a church a few years ago. We just want to help you be reminded of the fun that you can have on dates with one another. Anything else? No, that's good. I mean, just be creative. Go outside the box of what you typically do as a routine on your date nights.
And so a couple things that go along with that, just choose active rather than passive. Choose new things. And it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be top golf. It doesn't have to be, you know, a show or anything like that. It can be something really cheap and really easy. Groupons, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that most of us would never think of doing, but you could do for relatively cheap.
Yeah, so a couple ideas again that are outside the box. So Kristen's initials are KLK. And so if we're going to go on a date, and I'm going to plan it around her initials. And so K, we would go to Krispy Kreme and get a donut. And then we would go walk around White Rock Lake, which is a 9-mile walk. Or we'd run or bike. And then because we just did 9 miles, we'd go back to Krispy Kreme. And so KLK. Okay, super easy. You guys can do this. Okay, take your initials and do something fun and creative. The color blue. And so we're going to plan a date night around the color blue. We're going to go to Blue Goose and get a quesadilla appetizer. We're going to go watch a sunset as the sky turns from blue to pink. We're going to go watch a Mavericks game. They wear the color blue, okay? And then they're probably going to lose, and so we're going to be blue and sad afterwards. And it's a blue-themed date night. You guys can do this around colors, initials, dates. Just be creative. Some of our friends, they'd say, just give me a random word. And so they'd say, you know, fish. It's okay, F-I-S-H. I'm going to plan the date night around those four letters. Do something different. It puts a spark in your marriage. It gets you out of the routine. And it's the kind of stuff that maybe you didn't do your dates like that in the beginning, but it brings a spark back into our marriage that we all need to continually pursue one another.
All right, so how often should you date? You ought to have time daily that you can connect, not necessarily doing some of these fun things, but just a time that you can connect and discuss what's going on throughout the day. That might be mealtimes if you don't have four boys like we do. Mealtimes are not a good time to connect for us, but just figure out a way to do that. And then weekly, something that you do that you have defined as a date. Hopefully at least once or twice a month, you're doing that outside of your house, getting a sitter, swap with other friends that also want date nights. That's a good cheap way to do that. And so make sure you're trying to get something weekly. If you don't have kids and you both have a lunch break that you can connect on. We try and do that now that all four of ours are in school, and that's easier. And then once a year, just make plans to go away for at least 24, 36, 48 hours. Just being able to be outside of your home, outside of your responsibilities from work, and time to just truly relax and connect. Oh, sorry. And then probably one of the big things is, like, don't plan those date nights, and especially your annual one, and then hash out the thing that's been bothering you for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Like, save your conflict for another time, and enjoy being together and having fun.
Yeah, so Susan shared this with me today. USA News Today reports Americans will spend $19.6 billion on Valentine's Day. On a bunch of garbage we don't need, on roses, on chocolate, on, you know, jewelry. That's not necessarily garbage, but it's 24 hours of passion and romance. And so we're kind, we go on dates, but it all fades. The flowers are going to die, the chocolate's going to be eaten and go away, and so, or it's going to go to your hips like it does for me, whatever it might be. And so just don't. Okay, be creative all year round. Okay, pursue one another. Those things are not going to have an impact on your marriage if it's just one time a year. You guys know this. And the reminder, and I love this quote. I saw this quote about 8 years ago, and it's really been like what I want in my home. Okay, so it's Martin Luther says this. He says, "Let the wife make the husband glad to come home, and let him make her sorry to see him leave." That's the kind of hope we want, and that doesn't happen if we just pursue one another one day of the year. And so it's continually intentionally pursuing one another. Every day we're intentional. Every week, every year, we are intentional about our actions as a husband and wife. And your marriage won't grow unless you're being intentional. We're so thankful you guys are here. You are showing intentionality. Every week you show up for Reengage, you're being intentional. It's not necessarily a date night, but you're being intentional to work on your marriage. And so whenever you're done, we want you to keep it going and continue to date one another now, because it will let you have that kind of marriage that I love having the kind of marriage that when I leave in the morning, I can't wait to get home. I love my job. Okay, I love what I get to do. But my favorite part of the day is when I will get home today at 7:30. I'll see my kids and I'll get to hang out with my wife. And that's the kind of marriage we want, that Kristen's sad when I leave and she's glad when I get home. And we hope that is your story as well. So I'd love to pray, and then Ryan's going to come up and give some instructions for tonight. So God, we pray that we would have the kind of marriages that we are sad to leave one another and excited to see one another again at the end of the day. God, thank you for all these couples who are here. I pray that you would help them to grow in their marriage. I pray they would be intentional. I pray that they would just walk away tonight with one idea of something that they could do different to continually pursue one another. God, help us to recapture in just many ways that the magic that existed between us in the beginning. And I pray, God, that you would help us to pursue one another always. So thanks for Reengage. Thanks for all that you're doing here. I pray for every one of these couples. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Excellent. Scott and Kristen, thank you so much. That is such a gift. Guys, for each one of us, if we want to grow in our marriage or in anything in life, you're going to have to be intentional, and you're going to have to put purposeful action towards those intentions. And I don't know if you guys are like my wife and I and our kids. We love the Olympics. We love watching the Olympics right now, and you know, probably watch that a little bit tonight. But I want you to know, every single one of those men and women that are there, and especially the ones that are going to stand on that center stage, they were intentional and they were purposeful with action to do what they needed to do to get to that stage, to get to that place. And I want you to know, Scott and Kristen, they're intentional and they're purposeful with their actions to pursue each other and have a marriage that's healthy and thriving. And it's the same for all of us. How are we going to be intentional, purposeful with our actions? And so you've got some great resources. Another resource, so on that sheet, there's a list of resources at the bottom. And one of the ones I want to highlight, and Scott doesn't want me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyways, is Scott has a blog. It's called scottkadersha.com. And so you can go to that blog, and one of the things that's on there is 124 killer date night ideas. And so that is at least a year if you're crushing it, or maybe, you know, 5 years if you're kind of like normal people. And so you've got ideas for 5 years worth of date nights of being creative already planned out for you. And so that's a great resource to go to. And then also for those winners who won in those games, sit down, Niff, and also the wedding photos, Megan is in the back of the sound booth back there. And so you'll go back as you leave, go see her. She'll get those gift cards for you. And also, Megan, where are you? Hey, guys, Megan Smith back there. She is a gift that y'all don't even know about to this ministry. And this is her last day. And you've been a blessing. You've been a gift to this ministry. You've been a gift to all the leaders. And the participants don't even know how much of a gift you've been to them as well. So can we give it up for Megan? We are gonna miss her, but excited for what God has in store for her and her husband. They're going to be traveling for a little bit because they have some freedom with her husband working with, you know, on the internet. And then also they're expecting a baby in August, which we're super excited for them about that also. Love you guys. Okay, it's such a joy to have y'all. We know we were a little bit longer tonight. Just we wanted to have fun. Thank you for trusting us with your Valentine's night and just saying, hey, we're going to come here to work on our marriage. And we pray that sometime this week you do what Scott and Kristen encourage you to and go pursue one another. If this is your first night here, we want to say welcome. We're so glad you're here. In just a minute, people are going to be heading out these doors. We'd ask that you come down here to my right, your left, and we'd ask that you just stay and just listen to Raul and Susan Cox as they share with you what this journey called Reengage might look like if you continue to join us on Wednesday nights. And if you've come to newcomers and you're not in a closed group yet, you're going to go out these doors, take a right, and then take another right, go across the sky bridge. There's four rooms over there, 208, 210, 211, and 212. Jump in any one of those. And if Spanish is your first language, we'd invite you to come and jump into room 207. We'll have closed groups that are starting in the weeks ahead. We love you guys and have a great night pursuing oneness.